The storm made visibility very poor. The passenger craft bucketed along, battered by the machine gunning of occasional local storms. The plane had damn all in the way of instruments, and it was all contact flying. A time or two, a peak would flash by a mite too close, but from way up high, it was a carpet of turbulent whiteness, and one might lose his bearings. Fortunately, the storm was blowing eastward, and its worst furies were past by the time they had gone 100 miles. They burst out of a cloud into clear weather. The panorama of the Western Rockies spread out, glistening in the late morning sun, breathtaking in its beauty.
"Scotland may be the best land in the world,"
said the co-pilot,
"but 'tis never like this."
Johnny punched their speed up to about 500, and the white, vast world fled by. He spotted the plateau, estimated from the ancient schoolbook map he held, where Yuravan might be. Even in the snow, they could make out where an ancient, curving road had been. He spotted the southeast point where the road forked, and down to treetop level and counting the white-coated remains of towns, brought them to the mounds and dumps that must be Yuravan. He landed in front of some buildings, the plane crunching into the fresh snow. Angus McTavish was out of the door like a running buck, his kilt flying behind him. He dashed into one ruined building after another and suddenly came speeding back. His voice thin in the sharp air, he yelled,
"'Tis Yuravan!"
He held up some tattered scraps of paper. Johnny reached in back and got out a breathe gas cartridge and the equipment. He and Angus had worked half the night making a remote control that would turn the regulator on and off. All they had to do was find a hot radiation spot, back off, turn on the remote, and see whether they got a flash of exploding breathe gas. Johnny also got out some shovels, climbing ropes, and mine lamps. Running all over the place like a hunting hound, Angus was tracking down likely spots. There were ore dumps. There had been fences, but these had long since rusted away. They tried repeatedly. They would scoop out an old dump and put the breathe gas cartridge down, back off, release some breathe gas, and see whether it flashed in a small explosion. After a dozen tries, Angus became convinced it must be a spent cartridge. He switched it on in front of his face and promptly turned blue with coughing. No, it wasn't a spent cartridge. They went down in pits, they scrambled into drifts, long since unsafe. They used up 5 cartridges of breathe gas. No explosions. Johnny felt a bit disheartened. He let Angus and the pilot go on with the experiments while he wandered around, through the ruins. It was all so badly decayed, there was difficulty in recognizing what the buildings had been used for. How Angus had found paper simply added up to Angus. It must have been protected by being preserved under something. Then Johnny started to get suspicious. In all this area, he had only found one pitiful remnant that might have been a body. Merely teeth fillings and buttons lying in a certain pattern in a room. No remains of file cabinets. No distinguishable remains of machinery aside from some decayed hoists. But no bodies, save that one. He went back to the plane and sat down.